This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Time bombs sitting under the surface, time bombs in the climate, time bombs in the economy, time bombs in our security around the world, time bombs in our relationship to the world community, so many areas. And in order to understand how we can fix that, I believe we have to understand how we got there. And it's not as simple as George Bush put us here. This is a long story, and George Bush is the latest chapter in it. But until we understand how we arrived at this point, I think our real efforts at change will be underinformed.
We're talking with filmmaker Eugene Jarecki. His film Why We Fight was the winner of the 2005 Grand Jury Prize at the Sundance Film Festival and won a 2006 Peabody Award. Walter Cronkite says it is required viewing for every American. His new book is The American Way of War, and we're going to be giving away a copy here at the end of the interview. Eugene, give us some context now. Let's start with Eisenhower. When he made that speech and talked about the military-industrial complex, which truly must be understood, as you point out, that speech must be understood as a warning, as a great warning to anybody who believes in democracy. Give us some context of what was going on then, and what made Eisenhower go before the cameras and say what he said.
Sure. Well, a lot of people thought, well, why did Eisenhower do this? What a change of heart. And that's not correct. Eisenhower was, of course, a heroic general of World War II and a two-term Republican president. But what I learned in researching my book, The American Way of War, is that Eisenhower had throughout his life been a very conservative thinker, not just fiscally conservative, which he was, but also militarily conservative, that he believed there was no such thing as perfect security and that a country could bankrupt itself trying to pursue perfect security. And, you know, we all know that if we leave the house in the morning, something could happen, we could get hit by a car. We live with that insecurity that stuff can happen. And what Eisenhower said is, a country that starts to lose its way is a country where the leadership starts saying, we are not secure, we must trade everything for security. And so it's like you have a house, you know, and you have valuables in the house. This is like a metaphor for America, and we have, you know, we want to protect those things that we care about inside the house. So before long, you start hawking and pawning all the stuff you have in the house in order to trade it to buy a bigger and bigger gun to protect the place. And before long, you're just standing there with a big gun in front of an empty house. And that was Eisenhower's fear, is that you would take so much money from all the areas of what makes a nation strong, and you'd put it disproportionately into the most blunt expression of national power, military force. And you can destroy, as he said, you can destroy from within what you're trying to protect from without.
And so then we see a political climate where you have a whole segment, roughly we could say 50% now of Americans, who believe that when government spends money on bridges or roads or schools, that's somehow wasted money, that shouldn't happen, but it's okay to spend it on bombs and troops.
It's a tragic misunderstanding of power, and I think that Eisenhower doesn't need to be told anything by anybody today about how to keep a country safe. He knows more about it, certainly, than the folks who ran the country for the last 8 years and got us into the most recent mess. But we've been brought into messes by presidents from both parties, by both parties quite equally, and the reason it happens is that there are private interests and sort of unholy alliances that are served by keeping the country nervous, anxious, frightened, and therefore willing to trade everything for things that are serviceable to a small subset of our society. That's an extremely dangerous sort of experiment that is leading to great ruin in this country. And the public is the only force that can stop that process. And I talk about in my book why it's the public that has to do it. But I also am very sensitive to the fact that it's hard for people to think how they and their busy lives can actually do what's needed. And I talk a lot about how you can actually arm yourself as a human being to help this system get on the right track.
And we want to talk about that. We're talking with Eugene Jarecki, acclaimed filmmaker. His new book is The American Way of War. Eugene is a senior visiting fellow at Brown University's Watson Institute for International Studies, and he is also the founder and director of the Eisenhower Project. Eugene, let me, I know there's people listening who are thinking, but does he forget 9/11? We were bombed. We were attacked. Our country was attacked. We should be nervous. We should be afraid. We should be arming ourselves.
Eisenhower was no stranger to being attacked. He saw Pearl Harbor. He was the general in charge of Allied forces when we took constant attack from the most powerful nations in the world at that time. So he, facing all that, concluded in his farewell address that there will always be crises. These are his words. He said, crises there will continue to be. In meeting them, whether foreign or domestic, great or small, there's a recurring temptation to feel that some spectacular and costly action could prove the miraculous solution to all current difficulties. Instead, he said, what you need to do is to seek balance in and among national programs. What does he mean by that? He means that the strongest response we could have had at 9/11 is, yes, to absolutely have made sure that our military was on track to deal with and prosecute those who had committed that act against the United States, but to do that only in a context where we also respond to 9/11 by fortifying our infrastructure, by fortifying our healthcare system, by fortifying our economy, by fortifying how we educate our young people to compete in an ever more complicated world. Why? Because he understood that a country that's uneducated is fundamentally undefended, that a country that's unhealthy is fundamentally undefended and insecure, that a country that has a failing economy can destroy itself before anyone even drops another bomb, and that all these forces that can undo you from within, you can't just overemphasize military power. That's a road to nowhere. We're right now fulfilling his fears in the worst way. We're chasing the word terrorism. We're not even chasing an enemy. We're chasing a concept. We're chasing a way of attacking a country. And that's just a classic example of how this kind of insane expenditure can just run away with itself. There's no end in sight when you fight something like the word terrorism. So you'll do it forever. Keep advocating higher and higher budgets, as both candidates for president just did in terms of defense, and you just chase your tail forever, and meanwhile, you're trading all the things that otherwise would make you strong. So before long, you may get the terrorists on the run, but you'll have nothing to offer as a country when you're done with it.
We're talking with acclaimed filmmaker Eugene Jarecki. His award-winning film is Why We Fight. He's also the filmmaker behind the acclaimed documentary The Trials of Henry Kissinger, and his new book is The American Way of War, Guided Missiles, Misguided Men, and a Republican Peril. Eugene, give me your thoughts.
I want to say one thing about that.
Sure.
Because I want to make sure, you know, people who are listening, and I'm speaking in Virginia, and I'm in New York, and I'm a New Yorker who lost friends in 9/11. And I used to work in the World Trade Center. I have a very close connection to the events of that day. So I don't take that lightly in the slightest. But what I do say is that look at the number of Americans whose lives have been extraordinarily damaged by what happened in the marketplace in the last month. Look at how many American lives have been destroyed and erased by the Iraq War, the conflicts overseas. Look at how many maimed and injured and deeply life-alteringly damaged young people we have who participated in this highly profitable war for people in the private sector. You can damage a country in a lot of different ways. And yes, we took an attack on that day, and yes, the attack is of historic severity. But that doesn't mean you should then undertake other and actually equally or more grotesquely self-damaging activities in response to it. You have to find ways of becoming the America we all want to be proud of in response to an attack. That's how you destroy the attacker.
Eugene Jarecki, the new book is The American Way of War. Eugene, I know in your film, Why We Fight, you talked there about I can't remember the exact quote, but it's how many years America has been at war. And my jaw dropped because I wasn't aware of all of these things that we were involved in all around the world. And you sort of put them all there together in one place at one time. Yes. So the viewer can look at it and you drew a frame around it, and it was just mind-blowing.
Yeah, I mean, if you look particularly at the chapter in time between World War II and the present, you know, barely a year goes by when we are not at war with someone somewhere in the world. And the forces that guide us to war in this country are not Democratic or Republican. They are bipartisan. It is a system that is corruptly in the pocket of corporate interests. It's a kind of corporate political complex. And the reason it leads to war is not because the guys in the military-industrial sector want war. That's like a conspiracy theory that's just silly on its face. People who work in the military-industry sector or people who work in a corporation, they're no different from other people. What it is that Congress people are in the pocket of the corporate sector. And when Congress people are in the pocket of the corporate sector because they need their jobs and they need their money to their congressional districts and their campaign coffers, it means that they act as pleaders for the corporate sector to the federal government. And when they act as pleaders in that way, they ultimately are pleading to the executive branch. When the Congress has its decision-making poisoned by money, they become vulnerable to the executive. And for a very complicated set of reasons that Madison and Jefferson taught us, war favors the executive. Executives, like the King of England, they want the country to be at war, because when there's a war going on, we all give power to the executive. And so Congress people should be making decisions that are very cautious about war, but all too often they do exactly what the Congress did in this place, which is to abdicate their war-making authority to the president, because they ultimately have a vested interest in keeping the system happy, keeping the president happy, and keeping their corporate donors happy.
We're talking with Eugene Jarecki. The new book is The American Way of War. I am reminded of the observations of Jefferson and Madison when they wrote, and they left us these words, that the three greatest threats that every democracy in history has faced is private wealth, religious extremists, and those who profit from war. And yeah. Jefferson said, if you can keep those three forces on the other side of the door and not give them your government, then you will survive. But if you give them your government and they control it, you've lost.
And that brings me to today. You know, here we are in the post-election sort of moment of remarkable American pride and happiness, and I share in that. And watching Barack Obama's acceptance speech, whether you voted for him or not, and whether he's your candidate or not, definitely is a moment where America has clearly moved, stepped forward deeply in an important way regarding African Americans, regarding equality in America and opportunity, no question. That does not mean that we can now go back to bed as Americans and that our work is done. Our work has just begun. Obama himself said in his acceptance speech, he said, "I need your help." And what he means is only the American people can exert the force upon this system in Washington to cause it to do the right thing on the several issues we now face. Because if it's left to its own devices and all we do is hope that Obama can make the difference, he's just one man. And that system is deeply corrupted on both parties' sides. And there is no room for that kind of change unless the public is demanding it, and those members of Congress realize if they don't do the change, they're not going to get the public's vote. All of a sudden, if they realize that, taking all that money from the corporate sector doesn't mean that much, because all they wanted in the end was the vote anyway.
So it begins with the vote. It doesn't end with the vote.
It begins with the vote. And from there forward, people can say, what can I do? And my answer to that is every single one of us is busy. We are overworked. It's really hard to think about, oh, my God, you mean I have to be, like, totally engaged all the time and all that? Well, what you have to do is to figure out what amount of your time you waste, what amount of your time you surf the Internet or flip around and watch American Idol. And you've got to take some portion of that time, not all of it. Everybody needs their breathing room. But you've got to take some amount of time and become far more civically engaged at the local, state, or federal level as you see fit. And the way you do that is by choosing an issue that's dear to you, something you already know well. It's kind of like dieting. When you go on a diet, they always tell you to find a diet that's as close to how you usually eat as you can, so it's something you can actually put into practice. Things you're already good at. If you're a teacher, you want to work within how we can make education policy better. If you work in the healthcare industry, you want to figure out what part of it you know best and join together with those around you and create vocal groups for real change. If this country had groups like that all around the country springing up, you would see the America that Barack Obama wants to see. That would be inspiring.
We're talking with acclaimed filmmaker Eugene Jarecki. His new book is The American Way of War. Eugene, give us your read on the Obama administration and what we might expect vis-a-vis the things that you write about and war and the American way of war.
If the public goes back to bed right now, the danger is that the Obama administration will become another group of the usual suspects from Washington, people who have not been change makers in their lives. They've been part of the status quo that we're all actually hoping to change. If Obama feels the eyes of the public on him, and he feels that the public is there to do its duty to exert the kind of pressure needed for real change, then you'll see a less orthodox cast of characters, people who really have been agents of change in their lives, and they can go about trying to address some of these major issues. But again, this all comes back to, are you trying to go back to bed, America, or are you willing to stay awake and do the hard work? This is for us to do. This is not anything that a public figure can do by themselves. If they could have done it, they would have already. Everybody wants a better world. The whole point is that Washington is so corrupt that that fundamental natural wish just does not happen because the corruption is so deep and tangled.
And that's really an important point that I think is worth underscoring, and I think it can't be repeated enough, because we've sort of gotten used to saying, oh, Washington's corrupt, but stop and wait a minute. It's much worse than you even think.
it's much worse than people think, and it's much more tangled. And one of the things I go into my book is I'm not trying to depress anybody. In fact, I want to inspire people. In order to be inspired as a person, I need to know the facts. I need information. When you give me information, I feel empowered and I can act on it. If you tell people how the system really functions and how the Congress people are in the pocket of the corporate sector, that you have a kind of corporate political complex in Washington to sort of bring Eisenhower's term up to date, they start to realize what their role in that can be, because in that equation, the Congress needs you. The Congress needs your vote. Well, don't give away your vote easily. Make it that your vote has to be won by a Congress that meets your mandate, starts to fulfill the changes you want to see in healthcare, in education, in the economy, in an equitable approach to people in this country, in a better policy for America around the world.
Right,
those are all things
Coy
we
Barefoot.
Can all learn more about by
right
reading
now,
and then share that, those ideas
Friday,
with people around
News
us
Radio,
in groupings. Remember what Margaret Mead said. She said, never doubt that a group of citizens well-organized can change the world. It's the only thing that ever happens.
To interact with Coy
the film
and his guests,
Why We Fight was the winner of the 2005 Sundance Film Festival Grand Jury Prize and a 2006 Peabody Award
this
winner.
Audio download has
filmmaker
been made possible
Eugene
by the
Jarecki
Charlottesville
has written a new
Network.
Book, The American Way
Visit
of War, Guided Missiles, Misguided Men, and a Republic in Peril. Eugene, it's truly an honor to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Great to be here, Coy. Thank you so much.
We're going to break for local news and weather. When we get back, political scientist Andrew Gelman, red state, blue state, rich state, poor state, why Americans vote the way we do. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.